times I've tried to tell you, 20 times I've cried alone. Always I'm surprised how well you cut my feelings to the bone. Don't wanna leave you really, just wanna break the ice. Do I look silly to you when I yield to your advice? When you say we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder, we belong to the sound of the words we both fall in under. Whatever we deny or embrace, for worse or for better, we belong together. Te aseguro que es verdad. El cariño que es sincero no se acaba con crueldad. Olvida lo que fuimos y desprecias lo más bien. Pero juntitos prendimos que la luna era de miel. Junto a ti solo es mi ángel. Triste destino, junto a ti hasta el fin de camino. Close your eyes and try to sleep now, close your eyes and try to dream. Clear your mind and do your best to try and wash the palate clean. We can't begin to know now how much we really care. But I hear your voice inside me, and I see your face everywhere. Now I see we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder, we belong to the sound of the words we both fall in under. Whatever we deny or embrace, but we're so together. Junto a ti solo es mi ángel. Junto a ti como radio de luz que ha brotado el cielo. No importa por venir si sufrir es mi triste destino. Junto a ti hasta el fin de camino.
And don't we belong, we all belong. That was Denise Vasquez. I haven't played that in a long, long while. It's actually my favorite song by her. By the way, you can check her out at if you have a MySpace account, / Denise Vasquez, and that was from her song Frame of Mind, or just Google her. She's got various ways of purchasing that or checking it out. And by the way, yes, this is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to you at When Pigs Fly, coming to you from the Sin City of Las Vegas. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And for future listeners and past listeners, and of course BBS Radio for producing my show. That was a lot of interesting shows in the last events. I've had up several guests. And today what I want to do is I had emails and talks with several people and in various forms and talking, and that's what this show is about. And people talk about their depressions and things like that, and I will get into what happens of the depressions and all that stuff, and it will interlink between my past shows. But before I do, I do want to radiate some common announcements from and just people to check out. If you have heard my one of my past shows actually over a year ago, and also in Valentine's, I had an astrologist named Carrie Dale. You should check her site, which is zodiacbuzz.com. But it's fascinating because after all the elections, she had predicted some interesting things. Well, not really so much predictions, but read off her evaluations of their charts, specifically with Edwards having affairs and not being so much. And it was interesting what she had said about Barack Obama. Actually, there was two that she had suggested would be the most prominent, and that was Thompson, which obviously pulled out, and Barack Obama, which is sort of fascinating. Anyway, you do definitely do check her site out, and also check out my past shows. I mean, from Free Energy, talking about John Searle, Tesla, or about out-of-body experiences, regressions, thoughts or things, which we'll get into some elements of it today. And of course, if you want to ask questions about Kabbalistical points and et cetera, or politics, religion, UFOs, I'd be happy to discuss them. Or, you know, answer questions. You can always give your comments. And you can always contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. Again, that's flyingpigs@artlover.com. Or if you have a MySpace account, MySpace.com/AndrewFederer, or www.myspace.com/AndrewFederer. And, but to come to what I want to discuss and talk about, you know, people think of depression, feeling really sad, life seems like the same old game, always the same thing, never a change, life seems like a merry-go-round. And they commonly, you know, wonder, you know, they people, and I'm now going to give a little bit of disclosure of some of the elements of that. Now, this is not to take away from any medical procedures such as, you know, people taking certain drugs for their depression. But frankly, just straight up front, if you look at what certain, a lot of the, most of the drugs that are being taken are antidepressants or anti-anxiety pills, or, you know, people having panic attacks and et cetera, et cetera. A lot of these pills are affecting basically the synapses within the brain or creating more or less a numbing effect on the mind or the body and or above. Not saying that this is a great procedure, it's just one that I feel that it needs to be outed. Not doubt doctors for what they're trying to accomplish, but in retrospect, if you look into what is now understood within quantum physics, that is that a separation between mind and body, and that the brain is almost like a machine, which I'll get into. But it gets into back into what I was talking about right now, is just the depression thing and people taking the things and thinking, trying to take a pill to quickly take care of the issue. And it's really the understanding of what the problems are, of how this situation occurs where everybody feels gets depressed, everybody feels, you know, they might get in a rut or feel like they're in a rut. They feel like life seems to never end, you know, in the same routine. They may be doing a 9-to-5 thing or a job they don't like or in a relationship they don't like. But it's really no real secret how to get out of this situation. People have written self-help books, made DVDs, movies, all kinds of things, documentaries, speeches, lectures, motivational things, and then two different ways, and of course they cash in, bing, bing, ding, ding, making some money here and there. Not saying what they're doing, trying to do is good, but overall, it's really quite simple of dealing with these issues. I mean, there's a one of my I do study obviously Kabbalistical things and therapy, people understand where I come from. And also I read a lot about Tao Te Ching, but I'm also read a lot of Buddhism, because I feel they're all very almost identical, which a lot of major religions are in the fundamental ways, and in the core of like agnostic Christianity, or you really get into what real Islam is. That's a whole other story, like I said. But there's two famous, and probably one of my favorite quotes by Buddha. And of course, if you saw in the opening of my page on for the and on my show here, it was what we think we become, and it's so simple. That's one reason why I like it, because things are really more simple and people make them more complicated. But this was said such a long time ago by Buddha. And yet it's been known for thousands of years. I mean, thousands of years. The Egyptians, the Jews, the Greeks. If you really go back, and even the Sumerians, you go into the old, from the Taoism, the Kush, which was even like almost 1,000 years before there was even a Jesus. Confucianism, the East, the West. You can look in almost every fundamental thing. If you look really in the core, it's there. What we think we become. I mean, it even says within the beginning of the Bible. So people, of course, only look at things in the Bible as a piece for, you know, telling a story. But if you look in the hard core of it, you will see we're like created in the image of God, and therefore I am, I am. There's many, even in Hebrew, in the Kabbalistical sense of the word, they use letters, you know, letters of the alphabet in Hebrew all have very significant things. And one of which is, like, for example, Ani, which means I. And what is the reference to Ani, I? It is basically together with God in you, meaning reflecting yourself. Now, what is that? I mean, like I said, it's all pretty simple. What we think we become. And that is the very essence of what it happens when people become depressed. People become are depressed. Now, there's a duality of events. I mean, there are karmic events that create situations and therefore create ourselves to feel sad. Everybody feels sad. It is normal to feel, go up and down, feel happy one day, maybe sad the next day, you know, another day. I'm not saying bipolarism here, but it is normal to have your feelers, because your emotions are feeling things out there. That is normal. That was actually good. You feel things. And by feeling things, I'm not getting overly feeling, but feeling things, they're like your little tingles that warrant your emotions are basically your feelers and telling you situations. Like if you feel sad about something or are depressed about something, that's not to say to get overcumbered and go, oh, I feel sad and all this. It's warning you maybe of a situation about your own presence that maybe you need to make a change. Or maybe to grow from, or reflect upon yourself. So that's like a minute area. And it's also, like I said, reflected on a possible karmic situation that you have received, you are in a situation that, an event that is catastrophic, or very hard, or dire straits, or you lost a loved one. Or you may feel like you're going over and over again. Now, think about that when I said you're going over and over and repeating the same events again. Because there is a fact, and it's now changing of a different tangent here, but, and this is also quite well known, is when you think of something, and I said that thoughts are things, and you're thinking of that thing, and you're putting some, there is, like I said, a web, will, emotion, belief. You are actually creating a situation. So you actually sometimes can actually create it. You will constantly create an event. But the same token by those thoughts and things, it is a fact that those thoughts are creating certain wavelengths of energy, which now are affecting your body. It is a fact that there, we know that there's a mind, a soul, that's all over around you that affects your physical presence, which is your mind, which now affects the what they call in quantum physics, allow them to call it the observer, and then your brain, which is actually basically a mechanical device, which is utilized, which we don't utilize completely, obviously, and also the body itself. There's multiple cells and situations that create from the mitochondria and events within the body and, of course, the DNA, which create, for example, hormones and synapses of our nerves and everything to readjust themselves. And what I mean by that is, for example, I'll give you a real easy one. Now, let's say someone who, and this is like almost, this is like a physiological thing. When people get hooked on, let's say, I'm hooked on drinking coffee because of the caffeine, which has a nitrogen base in it. I'm not going to get into scientific parts of it. But that has an element of where there creates a physiological addiction. Heroin has that physical, it's a nitrogen setting within the molecular structures of certain nitrates and nitrites that basically adapt into your body, that your body, when it's not there, creates a need. So there's a physiological thing. Then your mind has the ability to create that same sort of addiction need. Not just on heroin, but it could be some people call that psychological addiction. For example, even on marijuana, it's not physically addiction, but it can become psychologically addictive. Sex, violence, and of course there's the adrenaline rush. You know, take it from me. I mean, I did that. I was there. I had my, if people look at my own bio or whatever, I had my adrenaline rushes. In fact, I was so addicted. I used to do things on the edge so much. I was addicted to it. I needed to do it. Of course, that was my escapism from where I felt where I was, which is a whole other story, a whole other book. But again, it was coming from me mentally. It was coming from my own higher self. It was coming from my thoughts. And like I said, what we think, we become. So if I start thinking, wanting in to become more depressed, I'm going to feel depressed. Now, people say, oh, I don't want to feel depressed. Do you? You may become so wanting to do it almost like a drug. If you get in a depression cycle and you notice over and over and over, and it's like a cycle, or you get into people have mental breakdowns because their body is doing it so much, effectively, what a mental breakdown is, it's a physical breakdown because your body just collapses from the constant changes of the mechanics and physiological situations that are occurring in the body because of that constant rush. It's almost like overdose. And basically, that's what it is. It's creating an overdose of the addiction. That's a mental breakdown. And it causes, of course, the physiological breakdown. That's why your body shuts down. You've heard where people, are about to die and they have cancer or some terminal things and they say, hey, it's really up to that person to live. It's that person, the doctors even admit it, it's those thoughts, it's those thought processes. Again, what we think, we become. Oh, that was the first one of my favorite lines. And the favorite line of mine, of course, I always love it. People ask, what's your thing that you, the thing that you like of Buddha, what Buddha would say. And I think this is the epitome of, if you put this on your wall, it is really so also very simple, and it delegates to you what exactly it is, what life is. He said, there's no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. So what does that really mean? I mean, I don't even have to interpret it. That's why it's so simple. That's what I love about it. You know, people always try to interpret things. I don't even have to interpret it because it always says it right there. There's no way to happiness. Meaning, I don't want to say I'm interpreting, but I'm trying to just expand upon. Trying to get more money, giving you happiness. That's going to make you happy. Popping that pill to settle your depression, that's not a way to happiness. Taking those drugs, being sexually promiscuous into an extreme, that's a falsehood. That's not giving you happiness. You may have immediate, of course, hey, everybody likes it, but is it really giving you happiness? No, it's a facade. There's pleasure around us, constant pleasure of things, and people misinform it. It's good, it's great that God, you know, God gave us the opportunity to have these pleasurable things, and you should take them with moderation, of course. But when you chase after them, thinking that's what's going to make you happy, that's where the problem is. You cannot chase these things. Our society has dwelled our minds with these constant tapes, which I'm going to get into, these thought processes, where we're being pushed through our wavelengths, through watching through media, through commercials, and constantly being drained with these images subliminally telling us that way they want us to think, creating a tape of way to think, therefore having us to chase certain things. And when we chase those things and we don't achieve those things, we get depressed. We feel down because it's being integrated in our own minds. And then we're told that, this is happening over and over again, because maybe these thresholds of achievement of certain events, whether it's through, especially through finances specifically, and what is supposed to be, they're telling you what is being happy, whether telling a woman you have to be exactly perfect, telling a guy you have to be exactly this way, you know, powerful and in your moving on and machoism or whatever, or achieving yourself financially in a powerful position, up through the hierarchy in your company, working hard 9 to 5, because you'll have the best TV, the best car, the best things. This facade of putting those thoughts in your head so that you're now thinking that, and if you don't achieve those things, you now become depressed. That's just one element. And I'm getting into a situation, thoughts. Those thoughts, they're changing the way you're thinking. Once you become aware, by the way, of certain of these things, you can stand back and go, oh, that's the first step, awareness, by the way. They even tell you that, like, if you ever, not that I have been in it, but but a lot of those self-help things, the first things, almost everyone will tell you. I mean, it's the most common denominator for healing yourselves is first becoming aware of it. It's even the process of just diagnosing a disease. How would they know if you got, you know, what kind of disease? If you got, I don't know, whatever. But they would go, oh, hey, now I'm aware of what you got. Now we can go ahead and figure out what now we've done our diagnosis. It's like doing on your car. We know it's the electrical, your plugs, that's throwing off your timing. Now we can know how to fix it. You have to be aware of it. So why is you having depression? Why do you feel you have to going through the same old game? Why do you think you're maybe having a relationship with one person, and it's almost like the identical person you've had before? maybe an abusive relationship. Maybe you are the abusee or the abuser, or you're trying to be controlled or be controlled-y. You know, why is it the same circle? Why are you maybe repeating the same events that maybe perhaps you experienced as a child with your parents, whether you're through alcoholism or drugs, or, God forbid, abusing little kids? Why is that repeating itself? Is it so because that these people are evil, or is it because their thoughts and their own minds have been integrated to adjust and repeat those things? Like I said, those thoughts are energy forms. You know, they did several studies of how powerful our thoughts are and how strong they can be and how they interact. And I'll give you one example that you'd probably be quite blown away. And this is done a few years ago by a famous lie detector guy, and I can't remember his name, processes, but that's not the importance of it. But this, it is a fact. You can always check this out and Google it. They took pieces of tissue from a person and put it several hundred miles away and hooked it up to a light detector so they can moderate the tissue of this individual. At the same time, they had somebody observe the person and his emotions, his or her emotions. And what they found was really bizarre, that the tissue was reacting on the light detector, correlating to the person. Isn't that amazing? The tissue. So that person's thought process is connected to his DNA hundreds of miles away. That's how far and how unlimited your processes of your thinking. Because it goes into, and I don't want to get into that, but it's a whole other process. We think ourselves are always on this dimension, which is called the matter side, but we do know there's antimatter, which is the other side. That's called the dark hole. The center of galaxies is usually a dark hole, and it's the flip. That's where we have discussed, and I think you can probably have heard this from other quantum physicists. It's called where there's, on the antimatter, three-dimensional time and one-dimensional space, which is the flip. But that's where your thoughts can generate, your processes and the energy. And we do know that there's energy from your thoughts. This is a fact. So just imagine it. Now, there was another study, and this will also sort of blow you away. You can always look this up. And I lived there in the 80s in Israel. During the Lebanese campaign, they just took, I can't remember the quantity of people offhand right now, but, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, thousands of people or whatever. And they had them think of, you know, using transcendental meditation and at the same time focusing on love and peace in Lebanon at the time. And when they did this for like a month, they noticed a correlation where violence and the situation in Lebanon subsided substantially. So they thought, well, this is just a coincidence. So they did the same thing, study, and they did it in South Central with these group of whole lot of people. Went in and like that transcendental thingy, meditation, focused on South Central, L.A., and you notice a quick drop-off of violence in South Central. That tells you something. You've heard probably people, and this is not diminishing the idea of prayer of God, because I think that's a cool thing. You know, everybody has their own view of God, where people, you know, somebody's ill, and they've called around a whole bunch of people, and they says, hey, pray for that person to be healthy. You know, now there's this karma. Maybe the person has a window and wants to, you know, it's this karmic thing to his or her to leave our physical plane and, you know, pass away. But anyway, they would put their thought processes of prayer for this person to heal, and lo and behold, this person would heal. Thought processes. A good example of showing how you physiologically and your mentally, how they're so connected, a great, in fact, unbelievable example, and everybody knows about him, Lance Armstrong, who had cancer. And then he was a bicyclist champion how many times over? And there's example after example example. So most people will be asking me, well, Andy, you're telling me something pretty simple. I mean, I understand, depression. You're telling me all this stuff about thoughts and thoughts are things. And, you know, I've had people on, people call in a show, and this happened a long, long time ago. What the hell am I supposed to do about it? How can I change? You know, and I said, well, look in the damn mirror, But it is actually pretty simple what I'm talking about. It's changing your tapes. And I had somebody quite close to me who had passed away in 1995, Janae St. Clair. And she used to say to us in class, or personally, or to other people, you have to change your tapes. People be, I don't understand why my life is so bad. I don't know why. And she worked with a lot of actors, and actually because a lot of people in the industry are producers, and a lot of very, very famous people. I don't know why I didn't get that gig. I don't know why my audition just collapsed. I didn't know why that deal went bad. And they'd think of that, and they'd feel all depressed over it, and they'd feel this, and she says, you got to change your tapes. And then people go through the same cycles, and they don't understand why over and over and over again. Are people who are actually financially so successful, but they felt miserable, and they're constantly depressed, and they thought they needed to take some damn medicine. Or they get into one relation, and they're getting their asses beaten up left and right. I had a very close friend of mine who was in that situation, and she was getting abused, and I remember Jenny telling me, hey, give her a call, da da da. And yet, as I was trying to help her, she was getting all frustrated that I was trying to help her. And then at the end, she realized it. That's all, she realized after she got her teeth finally knocked in and she got put in the hospital because there was a constant mindset that was creating the tapes. I mean, I've been there. Come on. I mean, I'll tell you firsthand. I went through some very dire straight situations, and a lot of it was, I have an event that happens. It's what happens that you will reach a karmic event in your life. My life has many of them, and it may be very dire straits. It may be very heartening. It may be very hard. It may be you're on the king of the hill, and all of a sudden you're on down below. And I mean, there's a different events, and then it's happened to me, where every damn agency's after my ass, and initially you get depressed. You feel bad about it. That's a normal reaction, but you need to go step back and go, that's like the feeler. That's what I was telling you about. Instead of going cumbersome and doing over and over and you get that thing of depression and feeling sad, and you create that feeling where it feels so normal that you create that in your mind, that tape, so then you will create events and or create your own depression. So then you think you're a manic depression, and you need or you have anxiety, and you're having anxiety attacks or panic attacks or a situation in your life. You're living with somebody who's your husband, and it's the worst situation. You want to get the hell out of there, and then you're sitting there you think you're having a heart attack, and it's a panic attack. It's your mind. That's those thoughts. You're recreating that over and over again. So what do? What do you change? How do you change the tapes? I said it's the object of it is very, very simple. It is no secret. People can write 400 books. You can pay millions of dollars and go to all these seminars, but tell you the truth, you're just blowing your money away on something that's so damn simple. If you feel all comfortable about having somebody tell you over and over again the same thing in a different way, that in itself is something wrong. You don't need self-help books and self-help this and self-help that. I mean, there's a bunch of people, and I highly respect a lot of people on, for example, on shows that are on, such as VBS Radio and others, that are have lectures and guests. And I have people asking me to come on my shows, and I'm very selective who I have on my show. And the one thing I don't is I will not consistently bring in people with, you know, I like people come on maybe like I had in the past with Zane explaining his situation so you can relate. But I don't really get into having people on with self-help consistently. The reason why is because it's the same old game telling you a different way, but it's all the same. It's perpetuating the same situation of telling you how to fix a problem when it's so damn simple. It is so simple to fix. It is, like I said, simple to fix. Not that it's not hard to fix. See, now there's a difference. To fix a problem of a person's tape depends on the individual. But like a great wise man once told me, it always starts with every, you have to take little bitty steps. Little bitty steps makes a bigger step. So it's patience and persistence. Patience and persistence of changing your tapes. That's all it is. It's real simple. Now you're going to go, how do I change my tapes? Again, very simple. All your self-help books and all the people out there have a common denominator, and they'll tell you over and over. And they'll do it in a different way, in different words. Everybody relates to different things and different ways of doing it. But I say, since we are our own individuals and we are our own creators, we can create our own way of achieving this. And it's really simple. Like I said, the first, being aware of it. Your thought process. Stand back and look at your life and look at you. That's why I said look in the mirror. It was one of the things I said, because like in the Bible says, Lord created us in our own image, and that's basically a reflection of ourselves, is reflecting ourselves. Look in your mirror. Look at yourself. When you go out of body, you're really looking at the reflection, your physical presence and your spiritual presence. And by the way, you die, you say there's always, in Hebrew they call it nephesh, which is a part of your soul, is in your body. So there's always a connection with your physical and spiritual. How do you achieve this? I mean, I talked about going and using your thoughts and things. I talked about how changing your tapes. I talked about how these affect your physiological and karmical events, which are absolute. I'm not going to go, it's the truth. You decide, but you know what I'm talking about. Common denominator. It's scientific. I mean, it things can change. I always believe, see, there's, you know, certain laws that they talk, and I think I've talked about in the past. There's always the absolute things. Your soul, you will always exist no matter what. And one of the other laws is that you there's absolute change. Things will always change. That's a constant. And you can make change for the good or make change for the negative. It's your choice. And that's the whole thing. So now we've gotten aware of the problem. Now it's the choice. Choice is the next step, the next energy to move forward in changing the situation that you're consistently in the same cycle of depression or same cycle of your life, the same merry-go-round. And maybe it's just, you know, you're in a situation you're working in. Let's say, for example, you're working in a job that you really don't like working in. Maybe that's a test, which is a whole other aspect, which I'm not going to get into, but a test for your own patience, so to speak. Or you're in a way of you have to be put in a spot to check your ego. Or teaching you patience. Or it's like somebody who doing the same thing over and over again, on that basis, but then needs to learn outside of work to go and do something else. So their immediate needs are taken care of. Maybe you aren't. It's not your karmic destiny, so to speak, to be financially a king. Or maybe you can achieve it, because you can always change it. There are things that you can change. Some things aren't free. There's that quasi thing. But getting back to our sharing, you know, like I said, awareness, and then the choice. The choice is the next step. The next step of moving forward. In fact, it's the old thing in Hebrew, people heard of in Hebrew, actually they say Mitzrayim literally means to confine in. That's actually the word for Egypt, to be confined, to be limited. So like when the Jews or the Hebrews were slaves, they called it Mitzri, they're confined. And when they wanted freedom, that was the first choice. First they became aware of their own selves, of their opportunity, and then there was a choice to move forward. And they do this like in the Seder thing, so I don't get into that. But you do need to make a choice. So that's why I said there's no way to happiness. Now my favorite other part, there's no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. That's it. I don't even have to try to interpret. I'm not going to interpret it. Happiness is the way. This is what I love. Even if you're the Dalai Lama in every situation, listen to what he has to say. He's always saying he's happy. He's feeling joy. You need to feel joy about things. Take things as a joke. Humor yourself. One of the greatest things that God has given all of us humans, is a laugh. You don't think God in the universe laughs? They used to say, there's an old saying in Israel, I remember, it's a, he who makes plans, God makes a fool of. It's sort of true. It's like you're going on this plan. I have a plan. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then you get there, and it's like, what the hell happened here? That's not what I planned. Or you plan your kids to do be, I want my kids to be doctors, and next thing you know, they're, you know, rock and roll stars, okay, or rock and rollers, okay? Everybody, you can't always plan. So anyway, you first make aware, and like I said, you go back to it, and you make choice. And they're going, okay, that's pretty easy. That's pretty simple. I'm aware of it. You make choice. It may not be the easiest thing. Like I said, every little step is another step. So it's still baby steps. First becoming aware of it, which is actually a major step. Making choice is now a major step. Now comes the little baby steps. Once you've become aware and you've had your choice, because now you're choosing to fix the situation, it's a choice, you're already, that thought process has already started. You made a choice to change. You made a choice to not go through that cycle all over again. So how do you continue on? Now again, here's like, you'll see this common denominator again, when it's all the self-help books, including The Secret. They're going to get mad at me. And I'm telling you stuff even Kabbalistically, which they would get pissed off if I told you a lot of certain things, which they're basically saying the same thing too. You do affirmations. Do you know that when people are doing prayers and praying to God, they're actually creating, affirmations? When people are counting the things, you never seen those little beads, and going da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da over and over and over again and over and again. Those are affirmations. They're affirming things. You say it. See, there's different elements of creating wavelengths of your thoughts. There's thoughts, just thinking them. And what amplifies your thoughts is when we speak them, because that creates a wavelength out in the universe. There's actually a wavelength that when you write something, you actually draw it out, an image or a word out. You probably heard of how magicians or Wiccans or, and like I know in Kabbalism, there's drawing out letters. And some people even tell you, you may even tell, like some people, they tell you, hey, here's it, and they tell you, hey, now write it down. Because when you're actually physically writing it down, your mind is throwing those thoughts in that page that you're writing. So it's like unionizing your physiologically along with your thought processes, and embedding those, into your system. It's like a mutual thing. So that's the first part, the affirmations. And then you're going to go, okay, I know about those affirmation thingies, you know, I love myself, 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 I love myself. Oh, I love myself. They don't work. I tried it. That's because somebody told you that. That's because somebody told you to write that in there. So it's like saying, telling somebody, it's like telling a teenager that, hey, don't drink beer. It's bad for you. Like, don't take drugs. And you think the teenager is going to listen to you? No. Because we are on our own way, our own adolescence. We have blocks. We have those things that we don't believe. We have ways of breaking it down. We can't identify. Some things we might identify. That's why there are some people who are like, I'm reborn Christian, I see the Lord. And they identify because of something else. And they do it. And they believe it. I'm not going to say that's bad. Everybody has their own views. But they actually believe it. So their thought process has changed. They create an affirmation. Because they identified with that. But some people, you're not going to identify, and you need your own, because we are, you know, individually different. So this is how you do it. Real simple. But it takes persistence. It's like making sure you go to the gym every day. And making sure you consistently, you have to be consistent. You know all those athletes that you see working out, and they're not one day in the gym and suck down a pizza. They're consistently watching themselves. This takes work, like anything else. You're working spiritually, and it's not really so much work. You can actually have good power. You can utilize different ways of doing it in a good way. So my idea, and you can take this how you want, you would, one aspect is, somebody used to say, draw the line, hey, tell me what's the positive and negatives of a situation. Well, what I would do, write down on one side all the things on the left side of a page that you love about yourself, what you feel you've achieved, okay? Or want to, you know, hey, I'm a great athlete, I have a great body, or I'm a great reader. There's some aspects. If you can't think of anything, think deeply of even the minute things. Think of something. That's the start of really learning to love yourself, to expand yourself. Some people aren't even aware of who the hell they are. That might be one of the problems. You really don't know yourself. So start trying to write about yourself, trying to develop an understanding of yourself. And that would be writing that one side of the page, the positive side, the things that you like. Now, I'm going to do the hardest part, and people are really easy at doing this, and I have a problem. A lot of people say, don't do it. Don't do it because then you're thinking that way. No, I want to do it because it gets out. It may show you why you're thinking this way. On the right side, write down all the negative things you think. Maybe you're introverted. Maybe you feel not as intelligent. Maybe that's a falsehood. Write all those things on the right side. And you know what? All those things on the right side that you write about yourself, you will be surprised. You can actually shift those to the left side and turn them into a positive by change. You can create things and change them. But I just want you to show a list. This is so you can visualize why you're looking at yourself, why you're doing that. Just a little simple methodology, nothing special. And then the second step of all this, of affirmations, after you've looked upon yourself and, well, oh, God, I feel, you know, I can see some of the qualities in myself. And looking at yourself in the mirror. I mean, I feel depressed and stuff. I might be overweight. I might be overly thin, which is all in your, you know, depending physiologically, if you're actually physically, you know, not too healthy or physically not appealing in your eye. And maybe rightly so, or maybe rightly wrong. You can always change that, of course, and do what you can. And also mentally, too. You may feel like I'm not achieving. Well, there's, you can study and learn things. You can teach yourself to create your cognitive skills a lot of different ways. Like I said, anybody who has questions of this, please do send me emails, flyingpigs@rlover.com, and I'd be very, very happy to try to answer your questions or what you think. And I would try my best to give you an answer, not to play guru or her doctor or whatever, as your friend. Okay? So, write down ideas. Just write down a column of what you want to affirm to yourself. Like, I, Andrew, want to become this way. I feel happy when it's this. Or just put, I am happy. I feel joy. Create your own way of making you feel happy. Think of something very happy in your mind. Make that your affirmation. Put those things over and over again. Where would you love to be 5 years from now? Put that in your affirmation. Where would you like to be 10 years from now? Put that in your affirmation. Put down, and I'm talking specifically, you have to be very specific now, in detail. Now, this might take a little, God, and there's a reason why I'm telling you specifically. Because if you say you wanted a car, and guess what? All of a sudden you got a car, but it's a beat-up old car that falls apart. So you have to say, hey, I want a car that runs really great and it looks like this. Same thing about meeting somebody. You can write an affirmation. I want to meet somebody who's going to love me for who I am, who's really this, this, and this. Be very, very specific, whether it's both physiologically, if that's what you're looking for, as well as spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Put that in there. It may happen, it may not. It also depends on the universe, too. It may be part of some karmic events. But you're putting an effort. Energy is out there. Writing it down is the first step, because like I said, you're connecting. The next step, and this takes the persistent part, read it over and over again. Make a habit of picking it up and reading it over and over. You may want to say it out loud to yourself. It may sound stupid. You may have kids and people around you. Okay. Said, just pick it up and read it over and over. Maybe you want to do an affirmation of feeling good, whether it's through your own religious thing, a prayer toward yourself, a prayer to God for yourself. Maybe you can do an affirmation, like whether it's in meditation. And this is where I could say you can go to books and pick up things and ideas, but make them reflective of you. That's the most important thing. Take something, maybe as you see somebody that have a painting. Every artist copies the other artist to some extent. Put a reflection of yourself in there, because that's when it interacts. And then the affirmations, by the way, that you write and you now do, try to do as much as you can every day. You're actually changing your tapes. You may get, if you feel yourself, this is getting over boring or whatever, it's like working out. It's like going to exercises. Change the exercises. Maybe you moved up a level. Maybe you moved further. And if you do this, like I said, consistently, persistence, being persistent, this will achieve your goal. Therefore, like I said, as I'm coming to a very close close, and I'm happy to have expanded upon this, and like I said, be persistent. So, with further ado, I will say there's, like I said, there is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way, and what we think we become. And I wish everybody a very happy Labor Day weekend. God bless you all. And I will close with One of my other favorite songs by Denise Vasquez, Pipe Dream. God bless you all. And I, like I said, have a great day. And do contact me if you have any questions or comments about this show or past shows. God bless you and have a great weekend. Bye.